Let's get our guest back, Shakti Durga, back into the studio. Welcome back.
Thank you.
When we talk about you, we say you are a master healer. Who or what is a master healer?
I think it's someone who has results with clients that perhaps others have not been able to achieve. And it's somebody who perhaps teaches other therapists. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably where one would say mastery comes. It's similar to in law. In law, you would have lawyers and then you'd have QCs. And a QC is a master lawyer. So someone who has been around for a long time, has done a lot of work and who...
So like the Queen's Conscience is the master
Queen's
lawyer.
Queen's Counsel. Yeah,
I call it Queen's Conscience.
It's like a master lawyer. And I think we have master healers as well. People who've got a lot of experience and have got the runs on the board of being able to help people with a very great variety of different things.
Mm-hmm. So it's not like a qualification or...
Well,
or a degree or...
It's probably just time spent and how one's peers feel about one. So I think that's probably the feedback from peers, and also when peers will refer clients that they would like a second opinion and they refer them to someone who's senior. So that's really what it's about, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What has been... Have you had a day where you've just reflected upon... that particular day and you've gone and said, I have had the day of my life.
Oh, yes.
This was the greatest day of my life.
I have those a lot because I've got the best job in the world.
Okay.
I get to hang out with the divine all the time and be with incredible people. And then when the divine utilizes this vehicle, me, as a channel, then it's just bliss. You know, I'm just in bliss. Ecstasy, whatever you want to say, I get to do that regularly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there wouldn't be a week that goes by that I don't spend time in bliss, and then I'm in bliss for days after that, and it's just the most beautiful thing, and the divine teaches me in that state. And
so what upsets you?
What upsets me? Injustice.
Mm-hmm.
When people are judged by their outward appearance rather than listening, you know, without anybody bothering to find out what's in the heart of that person. Things that upset me are
but
when
don't they
people
say,
I love are hurt by somebody.
Sorry, just commenting on what you said. So don't they say that you are never in control of the other person, however,
absolutely,
you're always in control of yourself?
I agree.
Right?
Yes.
So I just wonder the judging part. I wonder about it.
Yeah, well,
day
so
in and
do
day
I.
out, I actually wonder about it. If I'm in control of myself...
Mm-hmm.
I know what I've got to say. I know what I've got to think.
Mm.
Why would I allow the outside influence to corrupt me? Even if it is for a minuscule moment, why would I allow that to happen?
I think you'd have to ask every individual person that.
You know what
From
I mean?
From my point of view, I see
it's a simple thing. Don't judge someone.
For me, the feeling of anger or judgment, to me, is an emotional messenger that's telling me that something's really not right. And it's what happens next that for me is important. And so from that point of knowing that something's really wrong and that there's a response of that within one's body, I feel that then as a spiritual teacher, my job is to find the love, find the place of compassion. And one may have to take actions and have boundaries. One may have to protect one's boundaries. Society may have to protect one's boundaries. But these things can be done with love. One can do it with compassion and respect. And so that's the place I try to go to if something does upset me, which was to answer your question. Because, you know, I've met many spiritual masters all around the world, but all of them have been first and foremost a human being. And they love, they laugh, they cry, they feel their feelings, just like everybody else does. But it's what they do next that makes the difference between a master and somebody who's a beginner in the spiritual path. And that is that it doesn't really seem to matter what happens. That person's capable of holding a space of love and compassion for the people around them. And by doing that, I feel like we open a doorway, because I think love strengthens everything that's good. and I think it weakens the negative. And so the more we can truly come from a place of love and feel compassion and expand our consciousness to, okay, why did that person do that? Why did that person act in this crazy way? And you still might have to, you know, they might have to answer to the courts if they've done something that was criminal or whatever, but one can still hold the door open in one's heart that this person is not lost and it's not a damned soul, you know. It's a person who's somewhere in them got some goodness, and let's try and cultivate that. So, yeah, that's what I believe in.
So what's involved in a healing?
Well, the healing, as I said, is usually about half an hour of sitting there, and usually people are very engaged in the process. The time flies by, and we release the heaviness, the dullness, the stress. You know, you usually float out of a healing feeling totally amazing. And, yeah, it's great. People will usually come back for more pretty quickly. Yeah.
Beautiful. You've written a number of books, and I was just reading the number actually, and I was reading it. Some of the beautiful, titles you have: Empowering Relationships, Ignite Your Spirit, Yoga of the Mind, Dimensions of Wealth, Spiritual Mastery. I was just wondering if you could be so kind as to walk us through these and
sure.
Tell us more about...
Ignite Your Spirit is a beginner's guide to your energy field. So to me, the energy field, the aura, the chakras, the meridians that join it all together is like the hardware for our spirit. And so to understand this part of ourselves is really liberating. So the book was written to try and make a very complex subject as simple as possible. So that's that book. And it sets out a simple series of healing exercises that people can try themselves. And another book I wrote was the one on relationships. So this was Empowering Relationships. And that one was pretty much, it came about through years and years of counselling people, but really it came about through what worked for me in my relationships and what did I find worked as strategies to help me be a better mother, a better daughter, a better wife, a better teacher, you know, just to love myself more, to have more respect for me, to have a better relationship with the divine, you know. So all of those relation things are set out in that book. Lots of tools, lots of examples and case studies and stories of how people have overcome problems.
And so, your second book was called Child of God, was it?
Child of God, yeah. That's all about our soul, actually, and about the many very fascinating aspects of the soul and the heart and love. It's a very beautiful book for those who want to go deeper and delve into some pretty esoteric and deep subjects. Then there's another book, Dimensions of Wealth, mm-hmm. and that's how to apply our spirituality to make a lot of progress and to break through blockages around the capacity that we all have to pull to ourselves opportunities and to, to feel good about what we're doing and to really thrive in the world. So, yeah, that's a great book. And all of these are also seminars that we teach, and it's very experiential. Mm-hmm. And they're very transformative, the seminars. Mm-hmm. And then finally, we have Spiritual Mastery, which is where, you know, I've studied with so many different spiritual masters around the world, and they are my friends and inspiration. And I thought, wouldn't it be interesting to sort of write down the qualities and characteristics that I found them to have in common? And that's what I did. So I wrote down 12 things that I thought were hallmarks of a spiritual master, including the capacity to love, the way that they just find the joy in life, the way they're able to move through obstacles. Because, you know, I think most people can be loving when everyone around them is loving, but it's very difficult to remain loving when the people around you are not being loving. And so I think that's an inner strength. It's a Durga-esque, to use our language, sort of strength to be able to hold this space of love and compassion. No matter what it is that Dharma would mean that we have to do. So that's the books. The 12 spiritual laws are also dealt with within the Spiritual Mastery book. And my aim as an author was that no book I ever wrote would ever be like a law book. It was not going to be dry. It was going to be full of human interest, but penetrating look at whatever subject it was. So that was my intention.
I think that's the best intention, to write something that is worth reading.
Yeah, that was that's the idea.
And yes, that to me is vital. So thank you very much for creating something that does not look like a law book or read like one. So as well as writing books, you've started a spiritual foundation called Shanti Mission, and we briefly touched on it, and you said there's one in West Penn and Hills that you're looking
just about to start. Yeah.
Just about to start, and they are in other parts of the world you mentioned as well. So I was wondering if you could, for the benefit of the listeners who've just tuned in, I was wondering if you could share a little bit more information.
Sure. Well, Shanti Mission is an organization that's it's about peace. That's what Shanti is, and also the illumination of consciousness. So the whole idea is to provide a number of pathways by which people can find that illumination of consciousness, that spark within. And so what we offer is a lot of wisdom teachings from all around the world. We offer healing work. There's devotional practices for people who are interested in those things. And there's just a really amazing spiritual community, as I said before, based upon the respect of diversity and learning from each other and enjoying some of the similarities one finds, even though people come from very different backgrounds and have very different pathways themselves. So these four pathways, each of them we feel can bring you to a better place in your life. And it's certainly struck a chord with a lot of people. Wherever we go, people seem to love the work we do. For anyone who's tried meditation and found it's a bit difficult, or that your mind just won't stop, or you find it difficult to getting into that peaceful state, we got some tricks up our sleeve and we really help you. In particular, you know, we're Western people. It's all about the mind. It's about education and universities and all that stuff. And so turning the mind off is really quite a tricky thing to do.
But then all of us are born with it, the wandering mind.
That's it. So,
and to keep the mind and to bring your mind to a point where you think you can control your mind, that's the art, isn't it?
It is.
And that's the whole aim of it.
And also
that gives
to be
you
able
power
to transcend the mind as well, and to go into this transcendental consciousness. And so, yeah, we help people. And of course, that's where the Shakti is very helpful, because it kind of lifts people into a meditative state. So it's a gift, you know, to be able to share these things with people.
Now, my question to you is, what is the purpose of life?
Whoa. Well, for me, I think it's
I had it up my sleeve.
That was a good question to have up your sleeve. I think every sage, saint, guru, master, rishi in the world would probably have their own way of formulating an answer. For me, I think it's about the discovery and the integration and the emanation of love. I think that's what it's all about. It's about how do you be the best person that you could possibly be in leading your own life, and how could you be the most compassionate, kind individual that your life makes a difference to being here on earth. I think that's really the practical side of it. I think that there's also, of course, a preparation for something more in the, you know, that there is a state of moksha, or having attained all the wisdom and all the grace and all the love that one can aspire to. However, I feel that it's more practical to focus on how can I make a difference, how can I serve, how can I love, and how can I, really support the people in my life in a practical way. So to me, I think that's the purpose of life. And I think there are so many distractions from that, and there are so many things that seem to get in the way. And as I said before, when everyone's being loving and kind, it's easy to be loving. But when people are not being loving, when they're being judgmental or critical, or, you know, they're racist, they're sexist, they're anyist you can think of, it's really hard to do what's right, to stand up for yourself, but not to lose the love and the compassion. And it's almost, it's a trick, I think, to be able to retain a spirit of love whilst one ensures that the right thing's done in the world.